Period. All right, so today's Megillah. Today's Daf Yud Zayin. And we left off on Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis. So we learned yesterday that Mordechai, who stayed on in the Sanhedrin, because he was afraid that Ahasuerus is going to again conspire something not good regarding the Jewish people. Some of his Sanhedrin members were critical about that because they felt that once the decree was nullified, he should have rededicated all of his time to the learning of Torah. So like seven lines from the bottom, Amar Rabbi Yosef. So from here you learn that Gadol Talmud Torah, that great is learning Torah, Yosef Mahatzalos Nefashis, even more than a doubtful saving life. Because first the Pasuk enumerating different prophets, different tzaddikim, he is counted after the fourth. And Ulabasoif, and after he stayed on in the royal court, instead of returning full-time to the Sanhedrin, he's counted only after five, even though he stayed on there for Safik Atzalos Nefashis. It says, Ashubo im Zerubbabel, who came with Zerubbabel? So the Pasuk counts Yeshua, Nehemiah, Sediah, Reliah, I'm not pronouncing it correct, that's four. And who comes after the four? Mordechai Bilshan. That's an Ezra. But in Nehemiah it says, Habayim Zerubbabel, so Yeshua, Nehemiah, Zariah, Ramiah, Nachmeni, and then Mordechai Bilshan. So here he's counted one, he was like demoted one place. Even though he stayed on in the royal court to save Jews, he wasn't learning Torah, he got demoted. Amar Av, Vitei Merav Shmuel Bar Marto, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mabiyim Beis HaMikdash. That learning Torah, imagine, is the more important than building the Beis HaMikdash. Shekol Zman Shebaruch Ben Neroya, Kayom, Lehenicha Ezra Va'ala, because Ezra did not go up when the first immigration back to Israel went. He only went up there a few years later. And why did he not go up right away? Because his teacher was still alive and he wanted to learn Torah with his teacher. Omer Abba, Omer Abba Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marton, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mekibud Av Ein. That learning Torah is greater than the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ein. How do we know that? Shekol Oseh Shanim, Shehoyah Yaakov Avinu Bebeis Eiver. Because all of the years that Yaakov Avinu was learning Torah in Beis Eiver, he was not punished. As we'll see in a moment, he was punished for the 22 years he wasn't with his father, aside of the 14 years. What was he doing in those 22 years? He was getting married, he was raising a family. But he wasn't doing Kibbut Avaim. But for the 14 years he was with Beis Eved, he did not get punished. So Omar Mar, now we're going to make a whole cheshvan. That the question is, Daf Yud Zayin on top of the page, Lamu Nimnu Shneisav Shal Yishmol. When Yishmol died, the Torah says that Yishmol was 137 years old. The Torah very rarely gives you the sum total of someone's life years. It's normally only done by someone who was a tzaddik throughout their life. Now, Yishmol, we have a tradition, made tshuva at the end of his life. But that did not justify for the Torah to give you all of his life span. So the Braisa asks, why did the Torah count the years of Yishmol? Kedei liyacheis behem shnesel shiyakov. Because the Torah every now and then drops years or days through which we can track someone's life. And it's all about the life of Yaakov Avinu. And by knowing how old Yishmol was when he died, it's going to help us. That will be the proof that Yaakov Avinu was 14 years learning in the yeshiva. Shdechziv. So we go on. It says, Yishmol was 137 years old. Now, what was the age difference between Yishmol and Yitzchak? So, kama kashish Yishmol me Yitzchak? How much older was Yishmol than Yitzchak? And we know that was 14 years. How do we know that Yitzchak was younger 14 years? Simple. Because it says Avram was 86 years old when Hagar gave birth to Yishmol. Pasuk. And then it says Avram was 100 years when he gave birth to Yitzchak. So how old is Yishmol Yitzchak? 14 years. Now, what?
It's so clear that there's that 14-year difference.
No, that's not the 14 years. How do you know he learned in yeshiva?
Well,
One second. First, we know that he was older, 14 years. Now, it says that Yitzchak was 60 years old when he gave birth to Yaakov and Esau. So if Yitzchak was 60 years old, how old was Yishmael? 74, 14 years different. And now, we know that Yishmael died the same time that Yitzchak Avinu left his father's house when he stole the blessings. So now it comes to Cheshbon. If Yishmael was 74 years old when Yaakov was born, so when Yishmael died, how old was Yaakov? Now you got to take the 137 minus 74 is 63. So we know that that Yaakov Avinu was 63 when Yishmael died. And the Tanya, that Yaakov Avinu, the Shor, Shemizbarach Miyavid, like it says in Abraisa, that Yaakov Avinu got the blessing when he was 63 years old, Ubay Bepedek Meis Yishmael, and that was the time that Yishmael died. Okay, so far we have Yaakov Avinu being 63 years old. Dechtiv, as it says, Zihini Esav V'yarki Esav Kibarech, how do we know that? Also hinted to. It says that Esav saw that Yitzchak blessed Yaakov, and he told Yaakov that he should go marry his family. And right afterwards it says, V'yelech Esav El Yishmael, and Esav married Machlas, the daughter of Yishmael, Machlas, the sister of Nevoyos, who was the son of Yishmael. And the question is, we know already before that Nevoyos was the son of Yishmael. Why did the Seder have to mention who she was a brother to? And Melamed says, the Braitha Shekitcha Yishmael. Yishmael was the one who initiated the marriage. But he died at that time. And therefore, by the chuppah, whatever that was, by the marriage itself, we see a Nevoyos Acher. Okay. So now, we know that Yaakov was 63 years old when he left his house. Now, Shitin Utlas, and we know we have to add 14 years until Yosef was born. How do we know that Yosef was born 14 years later? Well, we know that Yosef was born 14 years after he got to Aram Naraim because he worked 7 years, then he waited a week. Then he married Rachel. Then he worked another 7 years. That's 14 years. And at the end of the 14 years was when Yosef HaTzadik was born. So he was then 77 years old. And if you're not going to add 14 years to learning yeshiva, if he left 63, it took 14 years for him to have Yosef. How many years do you have right now? 77. Now keep on going. We know that Yosef was born when Yaakov was 77. We know that Yosef was 30 years old when he stood in front of Paray. That's when he became the viceroy. So 30 plus 77, so now Yaakov should have been 107. After he stood in front of Paray, how many years did it take until Yaakov Avinu came down? So we know that there was the 7 years of good. Then there was the 2 years of Kafna. There was 2 years of the drought. You have to add another 9 years. So if Yaakov Avinu was 107 plus 9, so up to 116. And that's when he went down and he stood in front of Paray, and Paray asked him, so Yaakov tells Paray, I'm 130 years old. He should have been just 100. He should have been 116. So all of a sudden, he's 14 years older. It must be that from when he left his father, when he was 66, it's not that he got right away to his future father-in-law and you start counting the 14 years. No, that's what the 14 years. Those years were not counted in the Torah, but those years existed. So first of all, that's a proof. Everything is based on the fact that the Torah gives the years of Yishmael when Yishmael died. That helps us figure out that Yaakov then was 63, to know that he left his house when he was 63. And you add the 14, plus you add 14, plus you add the next 30 years. Plus you add the 9 years, that's the 130.
So the whole brachas and the whole thing with putting the hair of Esav on his arms, he was 63.
Yaakov was 63.
Yaakov was 63.
And he fooled his father. Yatine.
More than that. His mother is like directing traffic when he's 63.
Very good. Very disturbing. That's what happens when you live in your house. It's a mitzvah.
He only left his house at 63.
Make the cheshbon. No, let's go back. Yitzchak was 60 years old when he was born. So Yitzchak was 123. And Yishmael then was, no, Yishmael was, yeah, he was 14, he got 77.
So
Yishmael was, but Yaakov and Yitzchak were 63.
So he only went to learn.
No, between Shmuel and Yaakov, Shmuel and... No, between Shmuel and Yaakov is 60 plus 14, 77 years. No, if Yitzchak was 60 years old...
So Yaakov was 63, Shmuel was 77, right?
No,
no.
Isn't that what you said? No. No, we're saying that there's a 14, you're confusing, and there are two 14 years.
Yeah.
That Yishmuel was older than Yitzchak 14 years. Not older than Yaakov. He was older than Yaakov 77 years.
So he only went to learn in Shush and Eber when he was 63.
Yeah. Now, don't forget, he had a great father. Yitzchak Avinu, you think, gave him a tough time in Cheder. He learned good as a kid. And on top of that, he went to Shush and Eber another 14 years.
At 63.
He wasn't married yet. He was a bacher.
He was a bacher.
His mother was telling him, go get married. Yaakov's having thoughts over here. The Tanya. Now, you have to just take one thing into account. That these people lived, Yitzchak lived to 180. Yaakov lived to 147, and he passed away young. In that context, 63 is a third of your life. That would be today like in the 30s. Well, not a kid, you have to appreciate the Tanya. That the whole Yaakov of Beis Eved, Yaakov was Beis Eved because, what do you think, Esav was dumb? Esav wanted to kill him. Esav knew that he's going to love him. Esav knew where he was going. Why couldn't Esav stop him? And we have the tradition that Elifa stopped him, but why was it so hard? Because for 14 years he fell off the map. I mean, the hatred that Esav had to Yaakov was so strong that for 14 years, 24/7, he had guards on the road to stop Yaakov. And Taka, when Yaakov went 14 years later, Elifa was there waiting for him. No one knew where this yeshiva was. It was a hidden yeshiva. And Abraham Hayes passed away large. Yaakov Avinu Lad Amarai. Stay Shanim. Abraham passed away 2 years later. And from there he went to marry. Nimfed comes out. That when he got to the well, that means in the beginning of his working, in the beginning of an Aram Narayim, with the mice, with the stone, and he met Rachel, he was 77 years old. Okay, so now we know that. So the question is, how do you know he didn't get punished for those 14 years? Because it says in the Yosef, Shapirish, when you have Esen Rishtaim Shana, that Yosef was only away from his father 22 years, and why did Yaakov Avinu have that sort of thinking he lost his son for 22 years? Because he left his parents, his father, for 22 years. So think about one second. How was it 22 years? What happened to the 14 years? 36 years. Tlosan v'shita havnyon, elad v'sad havnyon v'sebel l'choshev l'hum. Parenthetically asks, how was Yaakov Avinu away for 22 years? Yaakov Avinu was away for 7 years, and for 7 years, that's nechumash. And then for another 6 years. That's 20 years. So if it took him to get back 2 years. So it was 2 years for the travel. The Tanya, that when he left Naram Narayim, he came to the place called Sukkot, and he stayed in Sukkot 18 months. As it says, and from Beisail, where he bought Karbanos, then leaving Lavan, he waited there 6 months. It's amazing. I think he went to Beis El and he put up a monument, right? And he came back to the stone and he was so happy that he made it, and he made a commitment that he's going to bring a Karban. He was there for 6 months offering Karbanos. Like a whole avoid them.
1 second. So why?
What's the question?
That's it. Yeshiva, what's your anger or should
shame?
So for some reason, the Gemara is not acknowledging shame.
Sometimes we find it for shame.
Maybe shame wasn't alive anymore. We know for sure shame was alive, that his mother, when she was pregnant with him, Rivka went to shame. He was the one that said that you have twins. Lidrish Esali came, well, she went to the tzaddik. But could be by the time he went to yeshiva, that was 63 years later, that's when he got there, could be shame passed away.
How did the 14 years of him being in yeshiva get excluded from the chesed of the 22 years?
No. Yaakov Avinu really left his father 36 years. That's 22 years plus 14 years.
Okay.
He only got punished for 22 years. Why? Because Gadol Talmud Torah, he's going to keep it on the aim.
That's why he's
getting married is not bigger than Talmud Torah.
Uh-huh.
Clear? I mean, getting married was not bigger than Kibbutz Av Ha'Aim. You have to choose between Kibbutz Av Ha'Aim
and
marriage, Kibbutz Av Ha'Aim.
Wow.
And that's what it says.
That's cool.
Not that you have to, just make it clear. Just like Mordechai Tzadik, he did the right thing staying in the court of Ahasuerus. It wasn't that he did the wrong thing, but he didn't reach the same level. We have a concept in Hasidus of Mesiras Nefesh Beruchnius. We're not meant only to do that which is better for us. Learning Torah is taka better for us. But Mordechai HaTzadik needed to lower his level to stay with the Ahasuerus. Yaakov Avinu needed to lower his level to go get married. You have to get married. The word chasan comes from the words going down. It's like I have to go down. Nechoyz dargo. Nechoyz dargo nosoyf itza. That's the word chasan. Go down your high horse and go get married.
Why would say,
but
who
he's so happy, yes, Mechel. No, but going to say that there's a certain glow on the face of the chasm.
Yeah, even though he's nochus.
Even though he's nochus, even though he doesn't understand yet.
Yeah.
Well, but it's a moment. You can take a picture and we got that moment forever. Fight it. Yeah, all right, Hagar Samayilah Mafreya, if you read the Megillah backwards, in the famous words of the Baal Shem Tov, at reading the Megillah backwards, first of all, it means if you read it backwards, either you read it backwards, or if you read chapter 10, chapter 9, chapter 8, Lo Yotza. The Baal Shem Tov says that every single Jewish holiday is celebrated in the present. The same thing is happening in the present. If you read it L'Mafreya, once upon a time, then you didn't read Lo Yotza. Kara Baal Peh, if you read it by heart, or if you read it Targum, or B'Cholosh Lo Yotza, if you read it in any language, the reason why we underline Targum is because Targum was like the first Yiddish, meaning that there's a certain Kedusha in Ladino, halachically, there's a certain Kedusha in Yiddish, there is a certain Kedusha in Targum. Nevertheless, if you don't understand Targum, if you don't understand another language, even if the Megillah was written, not on today's printing press, on parchment, with black ink, and it was written in Chinese, and someone read it, if you don't understand was, then you're but you could read it to someone who understands that Goyish language if it was written in that Goyish language. We don't do that. But if it would have been done, that would have been good enough. On reverse, what about a person who doesn't understand Hebrew? She says, Loyez is Lashain Am Zora. That if a person who only understands, let's say, English, but who heard it in Hebrew, written from the Megillah, which was written in Ksav Ashuris, you were Yaitza. Which is why it makes sense to read it in Hebrew. Because if you read it in Hebrew, even people who don't yet understand Hebrew, you're Yaitza. If someone were to write a Megillah, let's say in English, in a kosher way, Hebrew letters, on parchment, you know, Vayehi, V, you know, then Y, they would write. So for the English speakers, you would be Yaitza, but not, no one else. But Hebrew covers everyone. That's why we read it in Hebrew.
Oh, you're saying Targum of Chol Lashon means that it's like transliterated using English letters.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean actually in a foreign language.
I don't think so.
Fayi, and it was in the Nidu Akhashir.
Okay. That has to do with the Machlit of the Shoyman on the Mishnah. Ein Bein. What was the Ein Bein? Ein Bein. Ein Bein. Very good. Shkoyach. And that's Chesam Abed. That depends on how you learn the Mishnah over there. There's a machlekes rishonim how we learn the Mishnah. So let's go back. Kara Sirugin, if you read the Mishnah, Sirugin, Gemara is going to explain, Sirugin means that you read a little bit, you stopped. You read a little bit, you stopped. You didn't go out of order. Or, Umishnamem, you fell asleep in the middle. Maybe that's why they make so much noise by the Megillah reading. People should not be Misnamem. Yotso. But Lumafreya is not good. But if you broke it up, it's good enough. We'll see more details in the Gemara. Hoya Kaiswa, if a person was writing the Megillah, or if the person was learning it, was Dershah, or if a person was checking over a Megillah, Im Kivain Libai, if while he was doing it, he had Kavana, Yotso. Now, Kavana for what? We learn all this in the Gemara. The Machlekes, if mitzvahs need Kavana or not. If mitzvahs need Kavana, then the meaning of the Mishnah Im Kivain Libai is that when the person was reading it, he had in his mind, I'm not only reading it to learn it, I'm reading it to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of hearing the Megillah. If mitzvahs don't need Kavana, we had this before also, then Im Kivain Libai doesn't mean you had Kavana to be Yoy to the mitzvah. Im Kivain Libai means that when you're looking over Megillah to see if there's mistakes, it's very possible that even though you think you're reading it, you're not reading the words clearly. Seifer. You're just like murmuring it. Im Kivain Libai will mean you have Kavanah to read it properly. Then you're Yoytzeh. But the Imla, but if you didn't have that in mind, then you're not Yoytzeh. Because maybe when you were learning it, when you were writing it, when you were Magiyah it, you didn't say the words clearly. And by the Megillah, you have to say every word clearly. We'll see this in the Gemara. If the Megillah was written on all different types of inferior black inks, which are going to be called Sam, Sikra, Sikra is red, Kumkus, Kankantaim, we're going to learn all these things more in the Gemara. Or if it was written with good ink, but it was written on a paper, or on something called a diftara, we'll see this in the Gemara. Lo yotso. Ad, shetehik suvashuris al sefer ubediyoi. Says the Gemara Medohan Amilim. How do we know that you can't read the Megillah backwards? Amar Rava, the Amar Kra, Kichsavim, Uchizmanam, just like Zmanam, just like time, does not go backwards. So Kichsavim cannot be backwards. Amazing. You know, there's no time travel. You don't go back. Ab Kichsavim Mafrei Eloi. Rebbe Gemara, mi de Kriya, mi a Kriya, Ksiva Hacha, mi Ksiva Hacha. But 1 second. Kichsavim Uchizmanam should be a pasuk that tells you that you have to write it straight, that you can't write it backwards. The Mishnah was not speaking about a sefer writing it. The Mishnah was speaking about someone reading it. How do you know that the reading cannot be backwards? So the Gemara gives the same pasuk. It says, Liyos oisim eshnei ayomim, that you should do the 2 days. You know, Liyos oisim eshnei ayomim. So the oisim, just like the 2 days, 14th comes before the 15th, the reading has to be Perek Aleph before Perek Beis before Perek Gimel. Ela mahachet d'chsiv v'hayyomim me'elim z'chorim v'nasim iskir shchidol asiyah. Ma asiyah l'mafrei aloi. The days don't go backwards. The 15th doesn't come before the 14th. That the z'chira, the reading, the Megillah cannot be done backwards.
How is the Megillah special here? Can you read anything from the Mafrei Aleph?
What has to be read?
Anything other than Megillah? Can you read Lamafra?
Well, like this. What else has to be read? I'll be tired. Who knows? What has to be read is the Kodesh. What has to be read? Mikra Kodesh means you should call the days into Yontif. No, Mikra Kodesh.
Oh, that you call the day Kodesh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, what has to be read is Bikurim. There's very few things in the Torah. There's something else that has to be read. You have the Birchus Kodesh.
No, this is the Amat Elohim. Right? It doesn't say Kriya.
By who? By what?
Heart.
Yeah, but by heart. Now, Abhakel, no Echa, does not have to be read, Midaraisa. You have to know what this includes. There's a Shetan speak about it over here. It's not everything. And some of those things could be read out of order. Some of those could be read out of order. Let's go by. Tana, we learned, the Chema Halo. Oh, Halo. Don't forget that Halo is only Midarabanan. That Halo cannot be read backwards. The Chem Bikriya Shema. Ubetzvilah. Now, for the
Dat, that's what we... So does that mean that, according to this Mishnah, it doesn't hold that reading the Megillah is reading Hallel?
No. Not at all. Whenever the Chacham said to read Hallel, it could be, he holds it just like. that when you read Hallel, we're talking about not the Hallel Kilo Elam Chazdei, the Hallel that we read, what we call Hallel. You have to go through the right order. Shema, you have to say the right order. You can't say the Parsha of Ohim Shemaya and then say the Parsha of Yahavta. And Shemaya Esrei, you have to say that Habrachis is the way it has to be. Now that's a big Chiddush. God willing, we'll get into this today. Just to understand, who made up the Seder of the Shemaya Esrei? And there are things in the Seder of the Shemaya Esrei that go even against the Halach of the Rambam regarding the whole coming of Mashiach. Who's going to come first? The Rambam says Mashiach is going to come first. Then there'll be Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Then there'll be Kibbutz Goliath. In the Shemaneh Esrei, we have a whole different order. It's Kapha Shefer. You have Kibbutz Goliath. It's the first brachas, first Kibbutz Goliath.
Why are those brachas?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that
determine they have to be in that order.
So this will be a whole Gemara showing you why is the order of the Shemaneh Esrei the way it is.
Kibbutz Goliath is the last. That's the first thing you want to download.
No, so because
you want the end. You don't want the.
Well, so then don't just stop there. Minolon, so Rabbi Amar, let's go with Hallel. It says the Mizrach Shemesh al Nevoyoi from the shining of the sun until the sunset. Same concept that once you associate Hallel with this. Okay, all this is that's what's happening now. The reality is that there's a Kibbutz Goliath now, and there's Binyan Yerushalayim now, and there's no Tzemach David yet. But anyways, let's go right. Rabbi Yosef says, so Mimidrash Shemesh Abavai means that from sunrise to sunset, just like sunrise is always before sunset, so Hallel has to be read in the right order. Rabbi Yosef says the same, it says, Zeh HaYoyim Asa Hashem. These are verses in Hallel. So we compare Hallel to a day. Time only goes one way, so the reading has to be the way it was written, not the opposite. Rabbi Avia says, Yihishay Hashem Avaydach. And what do you see from Yihishay Hashem Avaydach? Hashem, that the order should be the way it's written somehow, Rashi says. Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchok, Vitem Rabbi Achva Yaakov says, Me'ata v'yad olam, again connecting it to time, from now and for forever.
Not
l'chayra, Torah we learn Shalaika Seder. Kids start with Vayikra. Reading Torah is not even mentioned over here. But Anachanami, of course, they come in Shalaika Seder. We probably read it Shalaika Seder. We skip. We reach a lake of Seder. Many times we go Mata, we go back.
You don't read the words backwards.
No, we don't. But we read parshas. When it's Rosh Chodesh and when it's Rosh Chodesh and we like now, if it would Shabbos Rosh Chodesh after Pinchas, you read backwards. You read one thing and then you go back to Rosh Chodesh. We don't care if we drag the Torah back. Right, Krishma, the Tanya Krishma, Kichsova. That you have to, Krishma Kachsova means, here, it means you have to read it in Hebrew. These are the words of Rebbe. It means you can't say Shema in any other language. That you can say the Shema in any language. My time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe say it has to be in Hebrew? Because it says the words V'hoyu, V'hoya, or V'hoyu. V'hoyu means, V'havayas in you. You have to read it the way it's written in the Torah. The Rabbanan, since it says the word Shema, what does Shema mean, understand? Understand means understand any way you understand. If you don't understand Hebrew, you understand English, so say it in English. The main thing is to be the Shema. B'choloshon shata shemeyam. I, Rebbe Nami, it says Shema. So he says, no. Shema means that your ears have to hear what your mouth is saying. You have to read it loud enough for you to hear what you're saying. And the Chachamim don't hold of that. But Rabbanim Sovdi Kamanda Omar Akredes Hashema V'leishmila Ozna Yotza. So therefore, Rabbanim cannot use Shema that you have to hear what you're saying. The Chachamim use Shema to teach you that it can be in any language. I, according to the Rabbanan, that says the words V'hoyu, answers the Gemara, yeah, V'hoyu means not to read it backwards. That's it. Shema, V'hoyu Hadvar Ma'ila. These words should be the way they are. The whole word V'hoyu is extra. Say Hadvar Ma'ila. Yeah, Hadvar Ma'ila, Shanech Mitzavcha, Yoy, Ma'alav Avecha. Rebbe, Shalikarul Ma'frei Minoli, because it says Dvarim, Hadvarim. It didn't have to say the word hey, hadvarim. But Rabbanan dvarim hadvarim le'mashmanuhu. Now the Gemara asks the question. If you're telling me that according to Rebbe, the word v'hoyu teaches you that it has to be said in Hebrew, meaning that if not for the word v'hoyu, you would have thought you can read it in any language, that implies that the other things in Torah that have to be read, like for example, Pashas Bikurim, that according to Rebbe, it could be read v'choloshim. Lema Kusava Rebbe Kol HaTeira Kulu B'Choloshen Emro. It must be that Rebbe holds that normally you could read anything in any language, because the Yisak HaBaitach, that everything has to be written B'Loshen Kodesh. Everything has to be said B'Loshen HaKodesh. Lama Le'ilu Mishtav O'Hayu. The Gemara says that's not correct. Still it's so. Because since it says the word Shema, Shema might have meant, or maybe Rebbe holds, that Bikurim has to be read B'Loshen Kodesh. Anything that has to be read Daska B'Loshen Kodesh. But since by Shema it says the word Shema, and Shema might have meant the way that the Chachamim said, understand, that's why the Torah needs to write Novohoyu. It has to be the way it's written. Novohoyu, same thing reversed. The fact that the Chachamim say that the word Shema is teaching you that you can say it in any language. As long as you understand, what does that mean? That normally you cannot say it in any language. You have to say it only B'Loshen Kodesh. So name something Abban and Kol HaTeira B'Loshen HaKodesh Nemra, because the Yisrael Kabayit of HaLoshen Nemra along the Mitzvah of Shema, also Yisrael Chalei. Talking about the Chamino, B'ho Yukarebi, Chazer HaChamana Shema, period. Okay, now we're coming to Shema Nesri. This is a very, very good piece of Gemara over here. Okay, Tefillah. Tefillah be known. Where do we know that the Tefillah has to be done under order? And I just want to make something clear. The first three and the last three brachas of Shema Nesri is considered one bracha, which would mean like this. That if a person today is davening Shmona Esrei and they skip one bracha, so let's say a guy said Baruch Aleinu and he forgot to say Refo'enu, so he can't say Refo'enu and then go to Tkava Shofar, because then he's going backwards. He goes to Refo'enu and he repeats Baruch Aleinu, because you have to read it under order. In other words, you can correct it by going back from where you made the mistake and then to keep on going correctly. If a person made a mistake in the first three or in the last three brachas, since they are both considered like one bracha, if I made a mistake anywhere in the first three brachas, I got to repeat the whole Shmoneh Esrei. If I made a mistake anywhere in the last three brachas, I got to repeat the whole Shmoneh Esrei.
You finish it and then repeat?
No, stop where you are and start the whole Shmoneh Esrei again. We're talking about a mistake in which you skip. But if I made a mistake in the middle 12 brachas, so I said Atochenem, and then I said, my example, I said, you know, Goyal Yisrael, I forgot the Refo'enu. I said, Baruch Aleinu. So you have to go back to the Refo'enu. Baruch Aleinu, Tkav
Does that include also the additions for
no.
Yom
Neroim? Skipped it, yeah? If you skipped it.
Skipped it, then you do the whole thing.
Yeah, it doesn't go to the Shchedesh, we'll get to that in tomorrow. In other words, Yalav Yavi, even though I forgot it in one place, we'll see if you can say it later on. We'll see different opinions in the Gemara. Like, we say Yalav Yavi and it's say. Other people said it in Maidim. The way we say Al Anisim Maidim, we'll see why it goes where it goes. We'll see that tomorrow. But let's begin with the order. Like, where did the order come from? First of all, there's a Medrash that says that the whole Shmoneh Esrei came on the order of history of the Jewish people. That Magen Avraham was set by the angels when Hashem saved Avraham Avinu from the furnace. And Machayim Esim was the story of the Akedah. And Atta Kodesh was Yaakov's dream. And Atta Chayim was Yosef HaTzadik's, that the angel taught him in jail all the 70 languages. You know, all that is the Seder of history. So if that's the order of Jewish history, the order is the order of history.
So what's the last one? Shalom?
Shalom is Mashiach. Means even though Mashiach is an Asamach, means even after Mashiach there won't be Shalom. Shalom is all the way at the end. I don't know. Let's go right there. So now, that's a Medrash, but the Braisa says like this. Shimon HaPakuli, the word Pakuli was the nickname they gave him. Many people say Pakuli means cotton. He was a cotton merchant. But this was a Jew that lived at the end of the Second Temple.
A Pekele.
So Shmuel HaPakuli was the one that organized the Shmoneh Esrei in front of Rav Gamliel in Yavna. And when that temple was destroyed, and he knew the exact nusach of Shmoneh Esrei. One second, did Shimon HaPakuli make up Shmoneh Esrei?
No,
of course not. Knesset HaGdolah was in between the first and second temple. It's not a contradiction. And did the Knesset HaGdolah make up the Shmoneh Esrei? Avraham Avinu davened. Not a contradiction. Why not? Because whenever there is a Beis HaMikdash, the obligation of davening is fulfilled by the Korbanot. Even though people davened, we learned this together, the Kahanim davened, they did not daven the Shmoneh Esrei the way we davened it. They didn't daven the whole Shmoneh Esrei. People's davening was optional. So whenever there was a temple, most people stopped davening Shmoneh Esrei. When the first temple, that means until the building of the first temple, people davened Shmoneh Esrei. The Beis HaMikdash was built. Then when it was destroyed, so you had a period of 410 years that people stopped saying Shmoneh Esrei. So you needed the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah to remember it. People knew it more or less, but they didn't know it exactly. Yeah, people didn't know it. People did not know it. No, that was something else. I'm sure the Sadis meant after the Churban HaBayit, that they were working as lav davka so kosher. That's the whole beauty of Rosh Hashanah, that even if people are working, they're not in shul, they get the mitzvah also. When we daven here, we're somehow, they're getting the mitzvah. People that are not going to shul yet. But coming back over here, so the Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Amar Rabbi Masnisa, that we learned in a Braisa, may have asked them, that there was 120 sages, which is the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, and in them there were Nevi'im that organized the Shmoneh Esrei Allah Seder. And it's not a contradiction. The Anshe Knesset HaGdolah did it. And even they didn't do it. It was done before, but people forgot it. They reinstituted it. Then it was forgotten during the Second Temple. And then it was again reinstituted by Shimon HaPakuli. Now, how do you know the order? Where did...
He was a Tana?
He was a Tana. Tana Rabbanan. Minayin Shomim Avay. So this begins with Tehillim Chavtet. It says, Hovu Lashem. Hovu Lashem means bring to God. Give yourself to God, which is davening. Davening is you're bringing yourself to God. You even take steps. And what's the first thing we mentioned? B'nei Elam. You sons of the mighty ones. Elam are the Avos. So if when we speak about giving yourself to Hashem, you children of the mighty ones, so first mention the mighty ones. And how do you know you have to mention God's might? Because it says right afterwards, Havol Hashem kavid va'oiz. Oiz is after gibor. How do you know that afterwards you say that God is holy? Because it says, Havol Hashem kivoyit shemai, hishtach val Hashem ahadras koidesh. How do you know that you say bina after kedusha, binas, after chayin alam das anj bina? Because it says, v'gdishu es kedesh Yisrael. First, the pasuk speaks about the holiness of Jacob. V'salikei Yisrael yaritzu. And right afterwards it says, v'yedu toye ruach bina. People who are confused of spirit should become mevinim. So Bina goes after Kedusha. So the Gemara says, okay, what's after Bina? Hashivenu. Umar ro loy metshuva achar Bina. Why do we say tshuva after Bina? Because it says, uluvava yavin, that your heart will understand, vishav, and you will return to God, is after you'll understand tshuva. But here's the issue. What comes after tshuva? V'rafaloy, you'll get healed. We don't say refa'enu after hashivenu. We say hashivenu, then we say slach, then we say geula, and then we say refa'enu. So yachi leimer refuah basar tshuva. So why don't we say after hashivenu, why don't we say refa'enu? Loi, fakadaiter, don't think that way. Because it says in another verse, the yashav el Hashem, that will return to our God, v'yirachameyu, and God will have mercy on us, will return to elikenu, ki yarba l'sloyach. So slicha comes after tshuva.
But the geula is not part of the tshuva.
Wait. So now the Gemara says, well, two verses. In one verse it says, Vishav v'rafa. In one verse it says that after tshuva comes slicha. So why did you choose one over the other? One against one. If you have two verses with different orders, why did you pick one over the other? So the Gemara says it's not one against one, it's two against one. Because there's a third verse in Tehillim that also has this order. What does it say? It says, Haseleach l'chol avoynechim. So it's slicha, and then refuah, and then geula. So that answers one question, but it makes a new question. So now we have bina, tshuva, slicha, but after slicha, it should have been refuah and then geula. So the memra of the geula, the refuah, basar slicha.
That's what we do.
No, we don't. We do first geula and then refuah.
Yeah, okay.
So the memra, the gula v'refuah basar slichahi, I it says shav v'rafaloi. But still there's a verse that says shav v'rafa, and to the Gemara, that healing is not a refuah of illnesses. It's the healing of forgiveness itself, which is gavalik. In other words, the refa'enu is from a physical ailment that already manifested. But the healing that it says that will do tshuva and will be healed is that tshuva itself, that's the inner healing. That comes together. And we don't even have to ask a bracha for it because it's one and the same. Returning is healing. Going back to where you belong, that is the healing. Now...
And therefore...
Doesn't apply. We're not asking for this type of inner refuah. This inner refuah is included in asking for tshuva, that we should do tshuva. Tshuva is refuah. So we have tshuva, we have slicha. Here's the question. After Slicha should have come Geula. And not, we do Slicha, Re'enu v'anyenu, Geula, and then Refu'enu. So Ma'al lo'emer Geula b'shviz. We should have said Geula b'shminis. Why did we say Geula in the seventh bracha, which is after Slicha? Answers the Gemara, V'teich sha'asidim le'geula b'shviz, will be redeemed in the seventh year. And we're going to learn in Sanhedrin, you know, two or three years from now, that there, we look at history as in cycles of seven. And in the final cycle of 7 years in which Mashiach will come, so Mashiach is going to come at the end of the seventh year. There'll be a lot of wars then, there'll be sirens going off. That's when Mashiach will come. So since the real redemption, it's amazing, this Geula, it's speaking about the Geula, that this Geula happens in the seventh year of a cycle of seven. So in the Shemona Esrei, we mentioned Geula in the seventh year. Everyone asks, the Geula in Shemona Esrei is not the Geula of Mashiach. The Geula of Mashiach is later in the Shemona Esrei. Or even the Kibbutz Goliath, or even Eid Yerushalayim. So even though this is a Geula Pratis, a personal redemption, nevertheless, since the general Geula happens in the seventh, the Geula Pratis also happens in the seventh. Like we learned.
What's the difference between a Geula Pratis and the Geula Pratis?
Everything. Geula Pratis, many people have a Geula today. They have their own Geula. A Geula would mean that if a person has Beruchnias, he's connected to God. He's not afflicted. The Gashmias, he has Parnasa Bar Chava. That's Geula.
So wouldn't that be the same as the Hashiveinu?
No, not at all. Hashiveinu is before you can have Geula, you got to do Hashiveinu.
But we said that you have Hashiveinu and then you get
But not Geula. Geula means you have Parnasa.
Mm-hmm.
It's for something personal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marmar, the Shish is Koilus, that on the sixth year there's going to be silence, Ubashri is Mokhamai, and there'll be wars on the seventh year. At the end of the seventh year, Ben David Ba, Mashiach will come. One second. But according to this, Ben David is coming b'motzoi shviyas, at the end of the seventh year, not during the seventh year. So why are you telling me that we mentioned the redemption in the seventh year? In the seventh year, there's only going to be wars. So the Gemara says that the war is part of the redemption. That Muhammad Nami has chalta the Geulahi. Yo. Now, Ma'o Roy Lemir Ufuah B'Shminis. So now that we did Geula on the seventh, so it's not that since we said Geula on the seventh, so by default, Refuah has to be by the eighth. There's no default. Now that Refuah is the eighth, there's a reason why healing is on the eighth. Amar Rabba Acha, Mitoich Shinit, Mila B'Shminis. Since Mila was given on the eighth day, Shetrich Refuah, Lazikach Ruah B'Shminis. Stop over here. We'll stop with Parnas. And that's stopping with